friends feel as their appointed duty. It's Tuesday, it's 4:30, and you know what that means. Our chance to talk basketball with John Corrales of Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast. Hello there, John. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing great. How you doing, my man?
I am fantastic. It feels like spring up here. We've got a winning streak going. Life is good.
Yeah, I'm driving to the game, and there's sunshine while I'm driving. It's quite a wonder. I'm speechless.
Well, which is good because from what I saw online, it seems that the Celtics team is so good that, well, they've got you talking to yourself.
That's right. That's right. It's a little literary tool to get a lot of the current kind of complaints and questions about the Celtics to a conversation with myself about on Boston Sports Journal. Look, the Celtics are playing their absolute best right now. They're on their longest winning season. They still have not lost two games in a row. They're kind of running away with things. And so you got to try to spice up the coverage a little bit and try to do it without them actually games, because you'd still rather see them lock things up and have some fun out there and not have it be people going, oh, see, I told you that they were going to struggle.
Well, there's no question about that, but I guess because I've been a Boston fan of all sports for a long, long time, so I have these flashbacks, well, even to last season with the Bruins, who played so well during the regular season. Is there any concern that with this big lead in the East, that they may not have any really important games until postseason rolls around?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I guess we could point to the Denver Nuggets last year, who kind of did the same thing. And the month, that March, go back and look at March and April for the Denver Nuggets last year, and it was ugly. And people were looking at them saying, oh, they let go of the rope. They're not going to be able to get that back. They peaked too soon. And they went out and won a championship. Now, of course, when you have Nikola Jokic, you kind of have the opportunity to do some of this other stuff and kind of chill out a little bit, not worry about it too much. But I still think the Celtics, because of Joe Mazzulla and what he's been preaching with these guys, I feel like they have good heads on their shoulders this year. I do think it's a different mentality. I think the guys are a little bit older. Tatum's about to turn 26 years old. They're all a little bit more mature. The team as a whole is a little bit more mature. So, yeah, is there a fear? Of course. We've seen it before, like you said, the Bruins and all of that. But also, I'm just so confident in the way these guys are processing and thinking the game that even if they do hit a little bit of a tough stretch, which might just include losing three games in a row, even that, I don't think is going to be a big deal.
Well, and you wrote about the Knicks game, and what a positive thing was, because it showed that this team is capable of winning different ways.
Yeah. You come out at the beginning of the game, and you're really hitting them with the ball movement. Then Jaylen Brown has it going, so he goes a little ISO to just hit some really, tough shots. But he was cooking, so you give him a little bit of that. And then the third quarter, it was just three-point barrage. And, okay, so the Knicks made a run. They cut the lead down to 9 at one point. And all you do, you come around in the fourth quarter. You don't hit a single three-pointer in the fourth quarter. You hit them with post-ups, Al Horford post-ups, over and over and over again. And that opens up the floor. It's just very impressive that without – wholesale changes to the lineup, they don't have a speed lineup. They don't have a physical lineup. They don't have the three-point shooting lineup. It's just the same lineup, but they can morph into what the game needs. And that's something that's kind of a relatively new phenomenon with them this season. And again, it speaks to the mentality, but also speaks to the roster construction and what they're able to do with Porzingis able to be a big guy who steps up. Drew Holiday, who is a guard that can get into the post. Derek White can do a little bit of everything. Tatum and Brown can do a little bit of everything. It's just an impressive kind of array of attacks that they have.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. And you talk about the construction of this team, and you mentioned Porzingis and Holiday. And obviously, Brown and Tatum are the leaders, but the professionalism and the type of play that Porzingis and Holiday bring to the table, I feel like that's been huge to the consistency that we've seen in this team.
Yeah, I think the consistency is a good point. They embody that never too high, never too low kind of thing. They're not playing down to the competition. They're not. They're just kind of like staying in that zone where it doesn't matter who produces, and it does. It starts with Jason Tatum actually, because Tatum is capable of doing a lot more, right? He's capable of averaging 30. He had that game the other night where he had 30 in the first half, but he didn't come out and try to score 50 or 60. He just kind of said, okay, I'm going to back off a little bit, be the decoy. And other guys stepped up. And that was an important thing to me when it comes to what you just asked, because it allows Porzingis the touches, right? He doesn't have to sit there and be a spectator. It allows Holiday the touches without worrying about, is Tatum getting enough or is he worried about getting his? And if Tatum's not worried so much about getting his the way he might have in the past, then Jaylen Brown isn't worried so much about getting his. And that just trickles on down. So that's why they've been professional. That's why they've been consistent, because their two superstars aren't just going out there and always looking for their own shot. They are willing to accept double teams and willing to accept defenses that are geared to stopping them. And they just say, fine, you want to stop us? We got three dudes on the floor right now that can all score when you leave them open. So good luck with that.
And that's worked its way down to the depth on the bench as well. Everybody seems to know their role on this team.
It's just, yeah, you get in there and Pritchard understands what he's going to do. Hauser understands what he's going to do. They do their jobs pretty well. Luke Kornet is having a really good stretch, kind of like no one's really talking much about Luke Kornet, but he's had some really good games lately just stepping in. It's been, yeah, from top to bottom. And now you hope that they can maybe find some minutes for Xavier Tillman, maybe Jaden Springer outside of garbage time to get those guys kind of maybe – worked in a little bit. You know, I think it's important over these next 25 games or so to get those guys those opportunities, because you just never know what the playoffs are going to bring. And you need to see how Tillman's going to play next to Al Horford. Can you play him next to Al Horford? Can you play him with, you know, can you play him with Luke Kornet? Can you play him? What are the combinations that work and what don't? So that's the next step, so you can make sure that those guys can fill in and kind of seamlessly do what you just said, just kind of know their role and contribute right away.
What do you think we'll see tonight against the Sixers?
I think you got to attack the Sixers. The Sixers are in a bit of a slump now, and I think that's something that, you know, post-Embiid, that they – you can really take advantage of a soft middle of the defense. You can really push Tobias Harris, who's in a slump, and attack him defensively. And if he's having trouble defensively, that can impact him on the other end. If he's missing shots, then it has like a trickle-down effect. So just keep pushing the pace. Keep attacking that middle. And then flow off of that, drive and kick three-pointers, and I think they'll be fine. The Sixers are in a really, really bad place, so take advantage of that frustration that they might be feeling to pile up a big lead early and maybe get yourself some opportunity to get those other guys the minutes that I was talking about.
John, what do you think of the Clippers' new logo?
it's interesting. It looks like a cruise ship. I'm I know that the Clipper ship is supposed to be a 19th century vessel, and it's been pointed out to me that the layers above the hull are supposed to be sails, perhaps, and not decks of a cruise ship.
Oh.
When you don't know what something is in a logo, I'm going to say that that's a bad logo. It looks like, you'll get this, you know the old Love Boat?
Yes.
The Love Boat coming right at you.
Right, it's Captain Steubing. That's what I expected to see.
That's right. And Steve Ballmer looks a little like Captain Steubing. Oh, man, I should have tweeted that out. That's a great tweet. Here for you on the radio.
There you go. John, thank you as always. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll check in with you again next Tuesday.
All right, I'll talk to you then, buddy.
John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, the Locked On Celtics podcast every week. Basketball insight like you won't get anywhere else here on Downtown.